again, truly honored to be able to be here with each and every one of you, and just want the Lord to have his way. And if he'll do that, and if we allow him to do that, then we can have a good service. We can have a good time in the Lord. But if we don't, we probably won't have much of a service if we don't let the Lord lead and direct in this service tonight. But you just pray for me that God would just get me out of the way. Again, I feel very honored and privileged to be able to be here, but I'm not worthy. But I'm thankful for God granting us the opportunity of being able to be here with each and every one of you. Encourage you tonight, if you're lost, and you know who you are, if the Lord's let you know that, if he hadn't let you know you're saved, to seek the Lord. The altar's already open, as Brother Gregory already said tonight, so you just feel after him. If happily, you might find him, though he be not far from every one of us. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn, we want to start out reading tonight in Luke, the 23rd chapter. Luke, the 23rd chapter, and we want to begin reading in the 27th verse. And Brother Taylor already almost started preaching our message tonight, but that's what my prayer was, is that God would just allow us to work together, that my messages would encourage his messages, that his messages would encourage mine, and they would just work together. And that's the way it ought to be if we're in touch with the Lord, and God will work them in that direction. So you pray for us tonight. Luke, the 23rd chapter, beginning in the 27th verse. This is as Jesus was being led away to be crucified, and tells us, "And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" That was a short reading lesson tonight, but it's Luke, the 23rd chapter, verses 27 through the 31st verse, and the message that we're preaching tonight, it's not going to be something new. You've probably heard it preached more than maybe any message you've ever heard, but it's the signs of the times is what we're going to preach tonight with the help of the Lord, and that's what God has put on our heart tonight. And it's time we open up our eyes to the signs of the times and realize what is taking place in our lives and in our country and in our world that we're living in today. Jesus was giving a warning. Even as he had already had the life beaten out of him, he was trying to go and walk up Calvary's hill to the cross of Calvary to bear your and my sins, no doubt with the weight of the world on his shoulders. And yet he looked back and gives us a warning of the signs of the times that will be coming, and wanted to give an example that if they are going to crucify the Son of God and take me and take the perfect sinless sacrifice of the Son of God, and if they're going to torture and to kill me, can you only imagine what it will be like at the end of time? And I don't know if anybody, as far as anyone other than God, could even fathom the condition of our world today that we're living in. Could fathom the situations in which our country has placed us in, and to look around and see the sin and the wickedness, it's just everywhere. As I went with Christy and we decided to take her out for a birthday, go to a movie theater, I looked at her and I had a thought on my heart, what about going to a movie theater? You don't know if you're going to get shot or not, because it goes on all over the place, and the things that are going on in this world have just gone everywhere. I mean, everyone is hit. I couldn't imagine how those men that were going to fight for our freedoms, and yet even on own American soil, were killed at a post where guns weren't allowed. It's going on everywhere, and it is time that we woke up and realize the condition that we are in. Let's look a little bit as Jesus doing the speaking in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. His disciples came to him with a concern, with a desire to know of when the end was coming, in the third verse. And as he And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. They were private by themselves. They're saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, I want you tonight, maybe if you've never done it this way, think about everything that has already transpired and is going on today as we read these scriptures. Think about it. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They've been doing that for many, many years. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. There's been wars going on for a long, long time. And of course, we're on the verge, it looks like right now, of a possible war. At any moment we could be. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these things have already happened and are still happening today. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And you know, it's come to the place today that we are hated of all nations. Christians are. They're hated all over the world. And I'm ashamed to say that even Christians, according if we really hold up the true beliefs and doctrines of the Word of God, we're even hated by our own nation. You don't want to admit that, but that's the truth. A man of God called preachers that are preaching what people don't want to hear are hated by people. People don't want to hear about that sin is sin and that it's plain as black and white. It's the truth, and we need to tell. And even if our own nation hates us, but we're there. Our nation, even our own one that we're living in, how they hate us. Many that live in this place do. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. There is hate and betrayal going on at every single turn. Parents are betraying their children, and children are betraying parents. It's going on everywhere. There's so-called friends and so-called loved ones that hate each other. I was always brought and raised. I'm thankful. I remember my parents and my mother especially. If we had a little book or something there that said the word hate in it, we had to mark it out because we didn't need to even say that word, because how bad that it was to hate someone and how terrible of a thing that it was. And now it's just plain speech to anyone, and they call what we do hate speech. But if they only would let us get to the end of our statement telling them that Jesus Christ loves them more than anything and wants to be their Savior, they'd understand that it's nowhere close to hate speech, but it's love speech. Because we're telling them about a God of love that loves them enough to send His Son to die for Him. And yet there's hate on every single turn. They hate us for telling the truth. No doubt us preachers, and I'm sure you as lay members, will be held accountable for standing for the truth before long. We'll be brought into the council. We'll be put up and be sued and be tried to take everything away from us. And maybe that's what we need to get our hearts and souls on fire for the Lord. I know I'm not asking for the worst valley we've ever been in, but maybe I am if that's what God wants. Because we have got to do something. We have got to make a statement to the world. And it's got to come through and by the church of the living God. That's got the Spirit of God poured out upon her. That the world can have one last opportunity to hear the gospel. Oh, they're hearing it, yes, in different ways, in different avenues, but they're not hearing enough of it.
Amen.
And it's got to come through us. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. They're all offended off of what we try to tell them. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, going on by the thousands. breaks my heart to hear and talk to different ones that say, I believe that God can save thousands. I really do. Don't hear what I'm saying. But it breaks my heart to think of all those that have been read down and walked right by maybe a body of water there and just dunked in it and said, you're okay, or has signed a card and saying that you're okay. It breaks my heart because there's more to salvation than that. As the sister said, it takes a born-again experience. It takes something where God speaks peace to your soul and He lets you know that you've been saved. There's a change that takes place where God Himself saves you. And it's deeper than just repeating a prayer. There's so much more than that. Yes, you repeat a prayer that God gives you, not man. And the Lord gives you the prayer to pray. There's so many false prophets in the world today. And because of iniquity, because sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We used to have a statement growing up in high school, and I'm sure everybody has. That's just cold. That's cold. And that's it was. We laughed about it at the time, but it would be if somebody was made fun of, and we would make fun of some person or do something. Yeah, preachers, we make mistakes too, and everybody, we do those things, but it's real now. People really have a cold heart towards other people. You can just try to tell somebody about the Lord. Even lost people, even in our churches, lost people are so cold-hearted and so hard-hearted that you just wonder what it's really going to take to get a hold of them. And you don't know how that God, what He's going to have to do to bring them down. Do you know when the last time was that our country really turned back to God? It seemed like in a little form or fashion, people were really trying to get their hearts right with God and trying to do what they needed to. The only thing I can think about is September 11th of that terrible day. And you know, it was an awful day that all those people died. And then we had a war right after that. There was a lot of people who were praying for our country. And there was a terrible situation that put us in. But you know what it did? It made us depend upon God. And I hope and pray that we don't have to get back to that shape. But these lost people need to understand that the signs of the times are here. There's wars going on. There's cold-hearted people that we're living with. These things are an example that Jesus Himself gave to us as a warning. His first message was repent and believe the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His very first message that according to the word of God recorded was repent. It hadn't changed. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I don't know about you, but my understanding, the gospel has been preached to all nations. Every kindred tongue heard, even on the day of Pentecost, all nations heard that day, and it continues to go out into all the world. And God has made a way for every single person so that when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there will be no excuse that we can offer. And then shall the end come. Wasn't a pause there, it's just that quick. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is upon the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such or great trouble, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. I want you to understand that this will be the worst that it has ever been and will ever be at the end of time. That's according to the Word of God. That's it. It won't get any worse than that. As far as the recorded history of the world, it will not get any worse than the end of time. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, for those that are saved, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be quick. It's not going to tarry. He's not going to wait around. It only took him 6 days to make this world and speak it into existence. I don't think it's going to take him that long at all to destroy this world. He's God and he's able to do it. And he will do it. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation or trouble of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I've always struggled and I'm trying to understand how everyone will see Him, but I want you to know everyone will see Him. And it's not going to be a pretty sight. He's not coming as a little lamb anymore, but He's coming as a thief in the night to take those that are saved home with Him, but you that are left behind. How terrible of a day it'll be. Can you imagine the fierce anger of the Lord that day? The displeasure that He has with those that have rejected the only begotten Son of God. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. And that, I want to skip on down if we can to verse 36. But of that day, an hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And I dare say they were probably giving in the marriage the way that it was supposed to be given and given the way that God instituted it. I know that the homosexuality has been around for a long, long time. But now today we try to take the institution of marriage that was set up by God Himself as He instituted the wonderful institution of marriage. And they have adulterated it to the point of where you can a man marry a man and a woman marry a woman. And now we are talking definitely about the end of time. It's just the same way as it was then, except I'm afraid it's worse than it was in the days of Noah. And God looked down and saw, and it repented Him that He had made man. He was disgusted with the condition of the world in which it was living in. He gave Noah, I believe, 100 years or more to preach righteousness of God's righteousness. If they'd only heeded, He was a merciful God. He tried His very best to reach out to those. Made an ark of safety for so many to be taken care of. But yet only a small remnant were saved. It's going to be the same way at the end of time. According to the world that we're living in, the billions of people that we have, when the Lord comes back, there's only going to be a small remnant that are truly saved. And it breaks my heart to think about the little remnant that's going to be in the ark of safety. But the only thing that I can get peace out of that is knowing that I'll be there. Knowing without a doubt that I have been signed, sealed, delivered. My name is put on the books of the book of life. The Lord put me there. He's put me there. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. It doesn't matter if it's a husband and a wife. It doesn't matter if it's a mother and a daughter. It doesn't matter if it's a brother and a sister. If you're saved and they're lost, the saved is going to be taken to be with the Lord and the lost to be left behind. And we need to be busy warning them. We need to be shouting as loud as we can, warning them the Lord is coming back. And it won't be long. I know this is an old message, but it's the truth. And it's going to happen before we realize it. I believe the Lord's coming back. I believe He could come back tonight if He saw fit. And He'd be perfectly just in that. And boy, I'd have to give an answer for a lot of lost souls that I didn't warn. There'd be so much blood on my hands, I don't feel like I'd ever wipe it off. But the Lord will say, come on, child, you've been faithful over a few things. But most importantly, you've been saved. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore. And if we had a message tonight, yes, it's the signs of the times, but to us that are saved is watch. Be alert. Be on guard. Be ready. The Lord put such a fire in the disciples that they believed. Look how they acted. Look how they preached. Look how they taught. They truly believed that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. They lived their life as if it was each day was their last. I hope you think that this brother, as he gets up tonight, as I preach, that I preach like this is my last opportunity, because it very well could be. We need to start living like each day is our last and telling them, get it right now before it's everlasting too late. The problem is, we just say, it's it's fine. They'll have plenty of time. You don't know that. I don't know that. Any moment could be their last, and any moment could be this world's last. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Who is a part of your house? As far as I'm concerned, this world is a part of my house. Yes, I want all of my family to be saved, but I'm not selfish. I want the world to be saved. I want every lost soul. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what race they are. I don't care if they're my enemy. I don't care if they're ISIS. I don't care who they are. I want them to be saved. I love them, and my Savior came to die for them, and we don't need to treat them like they're, and just brush them off and say they're going to hell. I serve a God that can save, and He's able to do that. If He can save the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest enemies of the Church of the Living God, He can save anyone. I believe that. Even our greatest enemies, we need to pray for them. What does Jesus tell us to do? Feed our enemy if he's hungry. Or give him water if he's thirsty. And you pray for your enemies and you love your enemies. What do you pray? Pray the Lord will deal with them. Pray the Lord will convince them of their sin, and His Holy Spirit will do that. Even those who have constituted and did things against our doctrines and things we believe and practice, we still need to love them and tell them the truth. Tell them about Jesus. The good man of the house had known and what watched the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You know, I used to think about that a lot of times when I was concerned about the end of time. Even after I was saved, it still kind of bothered me thinking about what things were going to transpire, because I didn't really understand it. I didn't understand how I'd be okay and the Lord is going to take me away. It still kind of scared me thinking about Jesus in His And God, in His wrath, as He comes and takes and pours out those vows of wrath upon this world, and He just sends His angels to reap those, the wheat and the tares, and it bothered me. Things bothered me. And so I thought, well, I'll just keep thinking about the end of time and thinking, because as long as I'm thinking about it, then you know the Lord, it says in the Bible that He said, if you in the time you think not, that's when I'm coming. But I want you to understand that as a whole, this world doesn't give a care about when He's coming back, or think He's even coming back, or think He even exists as far as that matter. So He can come back when He wants to.
Amen.
He'd be perfectly just in it.
Amen.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant from his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant with whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I'd be so thankful if the Lord come back and we was preaching the gospel. What a privilege it'd be if the Lord just looked down and we were witnessing to someone, telling them about Jesus, and He just said, come on, child, you've given them all the opportunities they've had. I'm done with them. Now just come on and rejoice in the blessings that I have prepared for you. And you know what? I couldn't look back. All I could do is look up from whence my help comes from. Look to the holy hill of Zion, because I knew who's coming to get me. And oh, once I'm looking forward to Him, I don't want to look back to see all the destruction of this world like Sot's wife, like Lot's wife did, turn into a pillar of salt. Verily I say unto you, that He shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I believe according to the word of God, ye shall know them by their fruits. And I'm just a firm believer. I believe there's a lot of people who say they've been saved who haven't truly had a born-again experience and truly given their life to God. I'm afraid that we're living in a country and in a place where we've even got folks on our church rolls that are so-called saved Christians, and yet they've not truly surrendered and been saved by God's grace. A true saved person will bear fruit, and they will be an example. And if they're not, they'll have a convicting heart inside them that's letting them know you're not doing right. I know I can't get by with it. I've lived in sin in my life and I've struggled with sin. But every time I have a voice there that's telling me you're in the wrong and you need to get it right. Those that are lost are going to hell. Doesn't matter what they've said. If they said they were saved, if they weren't truly born again, had that salvation experience, then they're not going to make it. We need to tell folks that this is a genuine thing. It's a real deal. Hell is real. Heaven is real. The end is real. The times, the signs of the times are real. They're evidence that the Lord is fed up and that He's coming back. We need to open our eyes and we need to watch. We need to wake from our slumber and our sleep and watch and be ready. How do we watch? We warn. We tell the world of Jesus is coming back. We tell them and we warn them the best of our ability. Will they all listen? Absolutely not. As the sower went out to sow, I believe it was four different ways that he went out sowing, and the different ways that those seeds didn't come back. There was three of them in which they didn't come back and prosper. You know how terrible of a percentage that was? Only 25% of those that went out and heard the gospel and it fell into good ground, and they brought forth some fold. But if we had just shut aside all that 25%, what about that other 25% that went on and straight to hell if we'd have not been willing to cast the seeds? I'm thankful. Even though God has been with me, and we've seen that 25% saved, and God's willing, we'll still keep seeing it. And sometimes there may only be 1%. There may only be one person that gets saved, but thanks be unto God, He's allowed us to go out and cast the seed of the gospel. If it's just for one lost soul, it might be your daughter, it might be your spouse, it might be your child, and it's worth every bit of the way. And it will be worth it. I don't care how many fall by the wayside. I don't care how many won't listen. I know that I'll have to give an account of every single word that I have said in this body. I'll have to give an account of every single deed that I've done. Whether I've done and brought honor and glory to my God, or whether I've lived my life acceptable to God, I will have to give an account. So I stand and try my best to point lost souls and to warn them as Jesus did, to flee from the wrath to come. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. You know these scriptures. We're not reading anything new tonight. First verse. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. Peter doing the writing here. In both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, even those of the Old Testament, all those prophets that were such wonderful examples to us, that give their lives for the cause of the gospel, many of them did, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. If ever there was a time where people want what they want, not what other people want, and caring about the cares of others, it is now. We live in a society of mine, and I want it, I need it, I'm going to get it right now. We live in that. Right. We live in a spoiled brat society. We do. I'm guilty of it as anybody tonight. I am. We live in a society where we want it our way or no way. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. It's a shame to say that Peter wrote this, in that people were still believing in a creator that created this world, and how that they would fall away to the point that they would say everything's just fine. The creator made this. He destroyed the world once. He's not going to destroy it again. But now we live in a society where even our education system supposedly raises our children to believe that there is not a creator, and that we come from tadpoles and then apes and turn into humans. They don't even believe in the Creator anymore. Peter couldn't even foresee how bad that it would get. And he said that when they would not believe the Father in the promise of His coming, that'd be the start of the end. We're living in it, folks. I went to a school where they tried to teach me evolution. How about you? Tried to go to college and go to get a good education. They'd rather teach you these values of us coming from this than about the truth. Basing it off of man's theory instead of facts that we have to go off of. Amen. Scoffers. For this, and this is the problem, they willingly are ignorant of. Ignorance doesn't mean stupidity. It just means not being informed of something. And the world, even lost people, the world that we're living in is willingly ignorant of the fact that God created the world. They can try all they want to make science disprove God, but science approves God and shows in His creation His wonderful handiwork down to the smallest of elements and atoms. God made that. And an infinite creature that knows all things, that was before all things and will be after all things. Amen. And they want to be ignorant of this. They want to not believe it. They want with everything they have to trust in the world and try to come up with some false thing to believe. And it has been based upon lie after lie after lie. And all they need to do is look to the truth and see. Science will prove the scriptures. Science will prove creation every time. I like science because it just shows how good God is and how smart He is and how much smarter He is than all those scientists. Because they just want to be ignorant. We're living in a world of people that just wants to stop their ears as those did when Stephen told of the gospel of Jesus Christ and stomped their ears and stomped their feet and just with anger tried to just keep from hearing. That by this word of God, by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. The world was destroyed once. They want to ignore that too and try to act like that doesn't make sense. But yet history and science approves that too, and proves it. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. People are continuing to poke fun and just make fun of God and say and make fun of us for saying, well, Jesus is coming back. And oh, they've been preaching that for thousands of years. Yeah, for a couple thousand years we have, but to God, it's only like 2 days. It's nothing to God. And He's been merciful is the reason that He hadn't come back. Amen. For their sakes. Amen. We'd be just fine if He come back. Amen. But it's for the lost sakes. But His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm so thankful for His long-suffering. Thankful that it's still here tonight. Mount Calvary Church, Nashville, Tennessee, that God still is reaching out through an unworthy man of God and through the foolishness of preaching, reaching out to lost sinners, that He might allow the Word of God to prick them in their heart, and that they might come under the hand of conviction and seek God to the salvation of their souls before it's everlasting too late. Thank You, Lord, for Your long-suffering, even in our mistakes and our sins and our weaknesses. Even in the sinful, wicked world that we live in and take part in. If you don't, that's fine. You can act like you're not a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. He is long-suffering. Lamentations says it's through His mercies. His mercies are new to us every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Every day we're open to those mercies. But the day of the Lord will come. It's a promise. Will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away, and the elements with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Kind of odd to me they knew what an element was back in the time that the Bible was recorded, but you know what? That's pretty amazing. But these elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Amen. Everything. Here is our encouragement. Here's why we keep going on. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, in the way that we conduct ourselves, in the way that we live? Conversation is not always in the Bible about what we say, it's how we live, the way we carry ourselves. Looking for, watching, and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. Be strong in your labors. Be diligent. Let's do this thing heartily unto the Lord. Let's not half-heartedly serve God. If we want to see the results of God, if we want to feel the reviving Spirit of God, if we want to experience lost souls being saved, it's going to take some work that we've got to be willing to put forth. Zion must travail for those births, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto you, unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away from the error of the wicked, with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Help us to watch, to labor, to be diligent, and to work, and be ready when He comes back. It's not a complicated thing, but it's difficult because we allow the cares and the sins of this world to distract us, to bring us down, and to keep our focus off of what it ought to be. Help us, Lord, if we want to see revival, if we want to see lost people saved, to get our focus where it needs to be. Let us do as Hebrews, the 12th chapter, tells us, to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He, even though He knew what was going to happen, looked at the joy that was waiting for Him. Even though we know, if this world continues on, if the country keeps going the way it's going, even though we know we will probably face fierce persecution, we may be brought in the courtrooms, we may be burned at the stake, we may be sold asunder, if we know of what joy that's waiting for us, help us, God, to suffer the persecution as our forefathers did, with gladness of heart and joy in their bones as they praised God, even as the life was being removed from them, that our children and our children's children might see the importance of this gospel in which we love so dearly and are willing to die for. Thank you, Lord, for those who died before me and set forth the example that I have, that the gospel just might continue on a little longer. Pray the Lord will delay His coming. Pray for these that are lost. If we can, let's have a song. If you're here tonight and you're lost and you need to seek God, you do that tonight.